two of the last song, the
service. I'm not sure how some of the younger children are feeling. Does it feel like, again, why? Why do we do it again? Didn't we do it two times already this year? Surely we know what it's about by now. Well, if those are some of the questions you're asking, you're not that unique. I think that is pretty typical of children asking those questions. And I would just answer it this way. For us as adults, we need the reminders. And it is also to be a teaching time for children. When you learn your math facts, you know what 7 times 7 is, but you know the teacher continues to do it, so the answer is right there. Well, in the communion service, we don't do it just so you get the right answer like that, but we do it so it becomes a part of our way of life. The way we think, the way we act, we remember what Jesus has done for us, and it impacts how we live. This morning, I'd like to just look a bit at some of the events that led up to the Passover. And I'll be reading selective scriptures, making a few comments as we go, and then come back later and how that parallels with our lives. Be starting in Genesis chapter 47, verses 5 and 6. Genesis 47, verse 5. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. Now, often when we do parallel, keep in mind that Egypt is a type of sin. And as the Israelites come out of Egypt and they travel through the wilderness, it's a type of our Christian walk, and we are headed towards the promised land, which is heaven. So Joseph's family, his father, his brethren, they went down into Egypt. Exodus 1, verses 6 through 14. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies, and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service, wherein they made them serve, was with rigor. And so the Egyptians did not want to lose Israel. We don't want them to escape. We want to control them. The longer Israel stayed in Egypt, the more bondage and control they experienced. Exodus 2, 11 and 12. This is after Moses' birth, and Moses grew up in the palace. Says, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. try to take it in their own hands to get help Israel find some relief. And we know that was a dead-end street. Over to verse 23. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Over in chapter 3, verse 7, God speaking to Moses, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. When Israel had first gone down into Egypt, they were given the best of the land. Wasn't it a good land? And here, God is saying, I'm going to get them out of Egypt. I'm going to take them to a good land. Chapter 4, verse 31. After Moses talked with the Israelites, it says, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. There was a ray of hope for deliverance for the children of Israel. After this, we have the nine plagues that God sent to punish Egypt that ruined the land and the economy. And before the last plague, we have the institution of the Passover, the last plague being the death of the firstborn. The news was spread among the Israelites. This is what the last plague will consist of. The firstborn of every family will be smitten, will be put to death, unless. And God made a way of escape. In Exodus 12, verse 4, I'm sorry, verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Jumping over to verse 21, what are they to do with this lamb? Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. So we see that the blood of the lamb was to be applied to the top part of the house and to the side posts. And when the angel of death came through and he saw that blood, he he was not allowed to enter. He passed over, and the house was spared, the death of the firstborn. And God is saying, this is something that you are supposed to remember after this. Every year you are to keep the Passover. And when the children ask, what's the purpose? Why do we do it? It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to explain how the Lord delivered them from Egypt. And they were set free. In verse 29, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. In chapter 13, verse 3, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. So it was to be done in remembrance. So how does this scenario parallel with the Christian walk? May I say, when I first indulge in sin, it may seem like the good, enjoyable life. I'm free. I can do whatever I want to. This feels like the right way to go. But the longer we live that lifestyle of sin, the more we realize that sin is leading into bondage, it becomes controlling, and it's oppressive. And just like Moses tried to show the Israelites, I might be your ray of hope. Sometimes I feel, we can feel that, I can gain freedom if I just exert myself a little more. Just a little more self-discipline. Surely I can break this yoke of bondage. But eventually we discover that we cannot gain lasting freedom through our own personal efforts. And so in my sinfulness and despair, I cry out to God. Jesus, the Lamb, has been sacrificed already. And as I believe in the sufficiency of the blood of that sacrifice, that blood is applied to my heart. And the angel of death has no more power to enter. But in that, I need to turn my back on sin. I need to leave Egypt. I need to leave sin and self. And I travel towards the promised land, the land of rest. I travel toward heaven. But you know, as I travel that road, I need these reminders of what I have been delivered from and the cost of my redemption. In 1 Corinthians 11, a familiar communion passage. First Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26. It says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do, why? How? It's in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." And so in a similar way, as the Israelites observe the Passover in remembrance of their deliverance, so again today, as we observe communion, representing the broken body and the blood of Christ, I do it in remembrance of what Jesus has done for me in setting me free. As the Israelites looked back at the Passover, there was also an element of looking forward. What's the fulfillment of this? And we know, we look back and we say, Jesus Christ was the fulfillment. And we praise the Lord for that. But there's also an element in the communion service that we look forward. Notice that in verse 26 it says, "Ye do show the Lord's death till he come." There's an element of looking forward to something that is even more complete than what we have right now today. And so we praise the Lord for that, and we look forward in anticipation to that. Shall we kneel and pray? Father in heaven, this morning we just again recognize our total helplessness to free ourselves from bondage of sin and Satan. We thank you so much for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was willing to give his life, the price of our redemption, and that through that blood being applied to our heart, we can be set free. We don't have to live in bondage. And Lord, as we observe the emblems again today, and as we go through the service, just pray that you would impress on our hearts the preciousness of our redemption, and that it would become more precious every day. Lord, help us to be faithful. And again, we just recognize our humanity and our need for reminders. And we thank you for the reminders that you have put in place to help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.